That was on beat. That wasn't.
As you can see, it has already begun. I am not alone. This is BJ from Flyover. I have with me from Beauty and the Breakdown. We've had Sarah Huntington, Sarah Pop Thompson before, but she brought her co-host, Heidi Fell.
Me.
So we have, and check out their episode 35. I listen to it. See, if I have people on my show that have a podcast, I listen to it. We had someone on the other day and I was like, oh, you agreed to come on here, and I couldn't believe it because of some of the things we said. And they're like, no, we never listened to it. And I was just like, okay. Because we had made fun of them for like 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, my God.
And they still came on. I was like, oh, I'm happy to be here.
Wait, are you allowed to say who?
It was, who was it? One was Hansu for the racial stuff he said.
Wait,
the,
you brought him on?
No, to apologize. That was before the last one.
Okay.
And then I think I made fun of a lot of people, like
Hansu got in trouble at a mic for saying a bad word.
And then like Brad Rigler, I made fun of him. And then he still wanted to come on the show and I was like, no, we're good.
Well, Brad Rigler's so easy to make fun of. I mean, that's,
yeah, you can't leave the door open for it. Like that's the problem. It just, if you make it too easy, it's just gonna be too easy.
Yeah, and comedians are sensitive, I've learned.
Which is so insane to me.
I'm not sensitive.
Do you think I'm sensitive?
No, like, I feel like it depends. Like, I think if it's like people that you care about, if like they like really tell you something, then like you can be. But I think like to any like average Joe that like were to say something to you, no.
Okay.
Sarah's guarded, in my opinion.
Obviously, yes, but I feel like since I know her on like a different level, like I have a different perspective. Like, I think when she like really, really cares about someone, which I think takes a lot, she isn't. But
there's like four people I care about.
Yeah, but like outwardly to like anybody, yes, very guarded. That's my whole point about being her friend. I'm like, I'm gonna crack this nut open.
That is like, that's Heidi's thing, is cracking guarded people open.
Yeah, that's my thing.
That's like her whole spiel.
I guess I didn't realize it was until
after I listened to the episode. Yeah, she gets people to open up that you don't think can open up.
Oh no, I mean, I can get anyone to open up. I genuinely say it's like a superpower of mine, but I didn't realize that it was a thing until her, like, Sarah and I became friends.
That's why I keep her around. I'm like, you know too many secrets now.
Yeah, but like Sarah's like watched me like do this to people over and over and over again, and like in my head I'm just like, I'm like genuinely like, I'm a sincere person. It's not like I'm like doing it to like be malicious or anything. Like, I genuinely care about like what people are going through, I guess.
And then you just ask one right question, and
then it cracks it all open.
See, after listening to the episode, I was thinking about it because I went to the store this morning to get some stuff for my son's birthday, and I I was listening to it in my headphones, and I was walking up and down, just crackling through the aisles, and the one thing I thought about was like, I'm the type of person, like, so if I never see you two again, I just be like, okay, that's my problem. Like, I'm not, I believe.
But I think that's like for most men, like, I think that is a thing. Like, I don't know what it is.
No, honestly, it's because a lot of people are, care about, like, you're going to be emotionally invested in so many people.
Yeah.
And I think that other people, like, I've seen it, like, even being around comedians and then even where I work at. Like, I worked with this girl and she was so worried about what the boss thought of her.
Mm.
And it was just like to the point it would cause anxiety attacks. And I was like, what's the worst thing happen? You're going to get fired.
Yeah. Right?
That's the worst that's thing that can happen.
Yeah. I feel like that's like, if I'm like considered guarded, it's because like, for the most part, I don't care about what anyone thinks other than like 7 people. But if those 7 people hurt me,
then,
or
yeah, it's like
dislike
game on,
something
yeah.
about me, then I'm like, why? What yeah. did I do?
But I talked to Sarah about something one night and I was like, you know, I would pay to watch Sarah do comedy, and I mean that. And the Thank other you. Part was, is she puts in work, right?
Yeah.
So I'm put in a lot of work. So I'm attracted to people like who do a lot of work. Like, that's why AP, him and I became best friends. Like, whatever we wanted to do, we would just do it, and we wouldn't just talk about it.
Yeah.
And then I can't tolerate lazy people.
No, absolutely.
No, I'm definitely a doer. I like, if like we talked about doing a podcast for like 4 months, and then finally I was like, we just have to do
and
it.
I mean, that was like, only after like, what, 3 months of knowing each other. Like, we met in cosmetology school, and like, I think after like the first time we hung out, it was just like we were like glued to the hip after that. But like we did, I'd say like for the first like we were like friends for like the very first like month or two cosmetology school, and we like talked about it, and then like we did it before.
I think it was because like three people were like, you guys need like a podcast, and I was like, bet, I'll do it.
But I also think that was the first time that I've ever like, I've had a lot of really like close friends, but I feel like this, like our friendship was like the first one that I was like, we are legitimately on like the same wavelength. We're like, we can bounce off of each other so effortlessly and like for hours at a time. Like it's not like, it's not like there's like ever awkward silences in there. And
like in school, there were like so many moments we would just go sit in my car and it was like 2 hours passed by. And like we had,
get back in there.
And we just had like talked back and forth. And I was like, why are we not putting this like
out somewhere? Yeah.
We just talked for 2 hours in my car on accident. And it was a lot easier, you know, when we like were supposed to be doing something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he, I remember my wife went to beauty school, and then like she called me and she's like, hey, can you come look at the car? And I was like, well, what's wrong with the car? She's like, well, they caught someone stealing catalytic converters.
Yes.
No, they were doing that whenever we were in school too. We had so many girls that got there stolen out of our parking lot.
Was it off Southport?
It was, well, we went to Paul Mitchell, which is like over by like the mall.
Okay.
And it's in like a little strip mall, like in front of the cinema. And I could probably count on like one hand how many girls like in like a 2 week span like got their catalytic converters
of
like
our
stolen.
Parking lots like people
what is the correlation between
beauty school and catalytic converters?
Because they're already going through enough. Like, anybody going
yo,
to school
I'm sorry, like beauty school is the, we were just talking about this on the way here, the worst year of our lives. Like I think any minor inconvenience was enough to put me in the grippy sock unit at that point. And like if I would have had my catalytic converter stolen, that would have been it for me.
I don't even think you could, like, and maybe it's because your car has to be like kind of old to steal your catalytic converter, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they put heat shields and stuff on it, but yeah, it's usually like it's because some of them now are putting them closer to the engine, but yeah, the older ones would just sit right in the middle of it, and it all depends on the gap your car has too.
Yeah.
But some of them now, like I have the jacks in and sitting out there, I fix brakes or whatever, but you know, then they bring them with them. It's like, and it's all for like one little piece of like copper or whatever, gold, whatever's inside of it. That's all it's for.
How much money do you get for that?
Probably enough to get yourself a nice little bag. Like, I mean, it can't be anything too crazy.
I mean, black tar heroin is $5. So that's
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't know the pricing on that stuff. So, I mean,
what's the difference between regular heroin and black tar heroin?
I listened to Ethan Cohen, who was on My Name is Earl, and he was also on some other mall rats and stuff. But like black tar heroin is more, I don't think it's as clean like the other heroin.
I mean, that sounds right.
I was going to say, I mean, black tar in the beginning of anything would sound like it's not too clean.
Yeah, I mean, I never dabbled in heroin, thank God.
Yeah, no, me neither, thank God.
Not something I would dabble in.
No, I don't think so, me either. I'm not interested in dabbling in any black tar.
No, I don't do any drugs, and
say that, like, this one person went around, and, like, he's, like, the one person stealing all of these, which I think that you would be. He probably got himself a nice little stash.
Yeah, he probably didn't even have to do black tar heroin. He probably got like...
Yeah, he probably got enough.
Gold star heroin.
Probably some coke. He probably got some coke.
Yeah, he might have even got himself a Molly. I don't know.
A Molly.
A Molly.
One singular Molly for
a
the
point.
Band.
I can't see someone underneath the car sitting in the Cadillac very big. I'm going to get some Molly for tonight.
He goes to an EDM concert afterwards.
If they're willing to do that and go to those heights and be under that much stress to steal it and not know if someone's going to walk out or not.
That man's getting meth and hanging out in an alley. That's not
He's not
Molly
getting a
crowd.
Molly. He's not getting a Molly. That's no, not he's not about to go listen
he's
to Rhythm.
He's looking for opiates. That's what he's 100%. Looking for.
Molly is for white girls that like to dance weird.
Those are for white girls that like to grind their teeth really hard.
For white girls that want to open up emotionally to a stranger
for,
in a bar.
For white girls that want to grind their teeth and talk about their childhood trauma.
How did you get Wyatt to agree to this after listening to the episode?
No, that's...
Is Wyatt coming back?
Listen, he did not agree to anything.
What,
I
to
did
release
my
the
magic
episode?
On him.
No, what I meant was, it's just like, you could tell, like, his emotions were right there.
Yeah.
Oh, they were.
So,
he was.
We did that. I don't know if you listened to the one before that, but we, like, opened up really emotionally ourselves
on
the podcast.
Yeah, so the one before the last one was, like, that was, like, the most vulnerable me and Sarah have been on our podcast so far. And, like, we're pretty far in, and it was because like either she was or I was in a relationship, and like we just did not want to like say anything that would like spark something on either end. So we've been like very careful about things that we've said, and this has been the first time that neither of us have been like emotionally invested in someone. So we were like, I think that was like the Saturday before that podcast, her and I had went out until 3 a.m., which we never do.
Yeah.
Like, just went cockroaching through downtown. So not only were we hungover and vulnerable, but we were like, oh, we have this podcast, and we like, let's just fucking spill our guts and see what happens. So we did. And like at the end of the podcast, Wyatt like literally pulled up a chair, and like I was like,
I feel like there was one question you asked him though, and I don't know.
It was
what
about
it was.
His dad.
Yeah, but you were like, I think you just said like, Wyatt, did you relate to some of those things we said? Like, did that make sense to you?
You have to like open the question with such a like you like the way that you have to ask the question is so like open ended that it like makes them think about how they want to answer it, and then they'll just fly with it. And I don't know what I asked. I really don't. Like, I didn't think he was gonna do that, but I was like, whatever I said made him be like, oh shit. Like,
it was like 30 minutes though of him
telling us. I literally have a clip. Like, I took a video of him doing it because I was like,
don't embarrass the man more.
No, I'm not going to. But I literally was like, we were like laying there.
I actually blackmailed him while he was
laying there. He's like opening up, and I'm like, he's doing exactly what we just said in this podcast, and I'm like videoing it. And like, he just like is like, it just like one question, and he like led into like his dad, and I was like,
his family, like his emotional trauma. And
but
then, like,
you can tell, like, he felt good about saying it.
What's
just
so
like
funny is that, like, we talked about it on the podcast, and then we literally got to see it happen live in action.
Immediately
and then
after.
Next day, Wyatt was like, or next week, I guess, he was like, I don't know what you did.
I've not stopped thinking about it.
But I am so embarrassed. I've unloaded all over the two of you.
That was the part when he's like, and then he had to ride his bike home, and they're like, oh, it's because his car was stolen. I was like, oh my god, this guy.
I just
want to hug him. But come here.
No, but like,
we do always
like,
want to hug Wyatt.
We love that man. It was just funny because like I wasn't meaning to, but yeah, whatever the question was I asked, he just flew with it, and I was like, again, I didn't mean to do this, but here we are again.
I love watching it though. I love watching her like open somebody up, and then I'm like,
and it's like the hardest cookies to crack too. I love it.
Yeah, and then no, I just grew up with just my mom, so it became natural to talk about my feelings and my emotions.
No, that's good.
Now,
I
other people
good.
I know, it's like, are you dead inside? Like, they won't say anything.
But my favorite thing is, like, and I kind of saw it with, like, Wyatt, too, and I do see it with a lot of people. It's like, I really do genuinely care about where people are at. And, like, I've always said if I have any gift on this earth or whatever my purpose is, I do think, like, emotionally I have a gift to, like, really help people figure out, like, how to navigate their emotions in a way. And, you know, like, therapy's hard for a lot of people. And I think when you can, like, have, like, a one-on-one moment with someone and they're, like, able to, like, help you, like, work through some of that that maybe you haven't processed, I can, like, see it on people's faces and, like, in their eyes when they, like, let something go, like, in a conversation. And, like, I don't absorb it. I used to be really bad at doing that. But I'm, like, I feel good leaving a conversation like that and, like, knowing that, like, they feel a little bit lighter, even if, like, the next day they're, like, shit, like, I feel like I trauma dumped. But in all actuality, it's like, no, you process something that you've been holding on to. It's not that you trauma dumped. You just feel a release and you kind of feel icky about it. You know what I mean?
So that brings me to this point. I went down and my mom was getting her brakes repaired. So I said, hey, I have an office in Seymour. I'll stop by the office, take my car. So she went to the doctor and did all this other stuff. And she's like, hey, I left a folder in your car. I need you to look at it, sign some paperwork. I know your power of attorney. My pops passed away in 2018, so I take care of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the paperwork was, and I was in the car, and I was like, duh, do not resuscitate. I was like, well, what do you want?
Do not resuscitate.
Yeah, it was basically because when my pops was in the hospital, he had a stroke, and then he got better, and then he had another problem, and then he took him up to Indy. And I'm sitting in there like 3 a.m. and they're like, hey, what do you want us to do? Mrs. Combs, what do you want us to do with your husband? And I swear, I have an older brother. He wasn't there. I don't know. He doesn't deal with anything, right? He is just emotional wreck. Like
emotionally unavailable. Like,
oh,
just
no,
like so past it. He's just like,
no, he's like so emotional.
No,
he can't be there.
I can't make. And I'm just like, all right, that's fine. I'll take care of it. And my mom goes, hey, they was like, hey, what do you want to do? And she looks at me and goes, hey, what should we do? And I was like, what? She's like, I can't make this decision. It's like, I need you to make that decision. And I was like, okay. And I was just like, yeah, do not resuscitate. So I was just like, That's my place in my family.
It's wait, like, so do not resuscitate was for your dad or for
dad
your
dad and for her too. And I, oh. and I, but the joke was, she's like, hey, I want the same thing that we had for Pops, because when we did bring him back, his quality of life was terrible. And I was like, oh, that's not a problem. I said, Mom, I have no problem with do not resuscitate, as you know. So we'll be fine. Ha ha, yeah. ha ha. And I was like, how can you make that situation more awkward?
Hate that. My parents will always like call me here recently. It's been like in the past like 5 years. And it's like my dad, every time he's like, I might die next year. You know, your grandma only lived until 60. And I'm 61 now, so my time could be coming at any point. And I'm like, dog, why are you always doing this to me?
But see, when my pops passed, we couldn't find his life insurance because he died of a stroke, never talked again.
Mm.
And they're like, it looks kind of organized in here. Things were organized.
Yeah.
Not at their house, no. Like, I was going through, they had like 17 junk drawers with bills.
Classic.
Bills still wrote out on envelopes. Like, how
classic.
Much? Yeah. That was my parents.
That would be me. I found my passport like in a random drawer with like candy from 2014.
Oh yeah,
good thing I still have this.
When I needed my birth certificate, my mom like went to like the back of her closet and like pulled out this trunk I've never seen, and in the trunk was a box, and then within that box was another box, and then she like takes it out of four different envelopes. I was like, babe,
that's
like,
our parents.
I promise you, like that piece of paper, I would put it in my fucking like top drawer, no cares in the
my
world.
Birth certificate right now. Is in my center console in my car.
Yeah, like I don't know why they like find that stuff to be. I'm like, I can get another one. Like if I needed one, I can
actually
go get
a birth
another
certificate
one.
Is hard to get.
Yeah,
but also, I just be I don't know why I'm just like, when will I need that?
You have like a social security card and like your license to get it back. Like you're gonna get it.
Also,
like,
I have no idea where my social security card is.
You see, we have everything right here. So there's that, and then the filing cabinet separated by the
boys.
Oh,
you shouldn't have told us that. I'm kidding.
Yeah, but okay. So like, I feel like this happens when you kind of like settle down and you have like a home that is yours that you're not planning on leaving. You get like your
spaces,
files in order.
Yeah, like you know you're not gonna have to
like
move
for
it
me
again.
I have moved like 8 times in the past like
I
10
how
years
I feel too. Like I'm like I want my stuff to be like so visibly there that like I don't have to go digging for it, because when I move I want to know where it's at.
You bring up a good point. I moved 27 times by the time I was 18.
Yeah
so like that we've talked about that picture before in other episodes of me where it was a joke for my parents, but they moved so much, like it was just stuck in a box, stuck to other pictures. Like my senior pictures weren't like the way they were supposed to be, and that was my life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when I got I moved out at 18 and been with Steph ever since I was 18, so we've moved like I think 4 times in 25 years.
Yeah.
And the other part is like I'd go to my parents' house, I'm like, hey, do you happen to have this from my childhood? And all I get is like, I think it was lost in the flood. I'm like, you guys never even had a basement. Why? Where the fuck did this
yeah,
flood
like,
come from?
Yeah.
You never had a flood.
Yeah.
What flood?
And that was my parent. And like now I'm to the point where I take care of my mom. Like I taught her Cash App.
Oh yeah.
And because I used to have to drive down there and give her money, but I taught her Cash App. And then like yesterday Friday when I took her back home or whatever, like, I knew things were getting weird when my mom had like this thing on her toilet, like the extra toilet.
An extra toilet?
Like basically
like
so you can
yeah,
because she had knee
exactly
surgery so she can stand
about,
it
yeah.
up.
Oh, like a yeah, like an
it's
elevated
like an
ex-
yeah,
toilet
yeah.
seat.
Yeah.
yeah
a
and
raised
then,
toilet seat.
And then she's like, can you change my shower curtain? I do, and my brother lives 15 minutes from her.
Yeah.
But I live over an hour, but she's like, I'll just call BJ. And I go down there, and then she introduced me, like, hey, this is my youngest son. She still calls me her baby boy, which is cute. I like that, but she's like, hey, yep, he takes care of me. He pays both life insurances. And I'm like, why would you tell
both life insurances?
She has two. She wanted two.
How do you do that? What's the point of that? Why do you need two life insurances?
One is for like the funeral, and the other one's for like
her ghost.
Basically to pay me back all the money she owes me.
Fair.
And I'm not even joking. That was her way of doing it. Like, hey, you've gave me a lot of money, so I want to make sure that you get it when I die. So I'll just give it to the boys.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but yeah.
So that's a crazy payment plan.
No, that really is.
Yeah, the amount of stuff I pay for that people, and I think that's
the craziest IOU I've ever heard. Just like, I'll get you back when I die.
That's Diana Lewis at her best.
Yeah, I know. That's insane.
But that's the weirdest part about it is because we were talking about it, Sarah. Like, I don't have a lot in common with most people I come in contact with at comedy. Like, Terry Shepard's probably the closest.
Yeah.
Because we're older, we have kids and stuff like that. But when I'm around a lot of people, I think because Asia, Charnay's like, you always look like you're in a bad mood. was like, because I feel like I'm still dealing with kids even when I get here.
Yeah.
And I feel like the old man get off my lawn.
Yeah.
But if you get to know me, you're like, hey, he's a great guy. It's just like, he just, I can't get, like, Nate's like, you never look like you're having a good time. I was like, I'm not.
Well, you're I think there's a happy medium between like some of the comics that are like going to open mics and stuff like that, that are just like, this is like just fun things that I'm doing. I'm just going here to like hang out with the boys. Like, it's like a bowling league for some guys. But like when I started doing comedy, it wasn't a bowling league for me. It wasn't like a, oh, I'm just going to go hang out with the homies and like, we'll tell some jokes. Like, for me, I was like, this is a career path I want to take. Like, so I like did a lot of, I would show up to the mic. I'd like maybe talk to you and like a few other people. And then I'd got the fuck out. I still do. I still hardly ever like hang out and like join the crowd. And that has nothing to do with not liking comedians. I love comedians. It's just like, that's not where I view comedy. It's not a like hangout for me. It's like, this is where I go to practice. And then I'm going to go home and
work on whatever
I want to work on.
And that's when people ask me about like, hey, I want to start a podcast. And I was just like, I don't think you understand the work that Fresh Clean does really well, but Smudcast did really well. But it was a second full-time job, and we put everything into it. And then other people like, well, I want to do a podcast. And then it's like,
I think that's like so crazy too, because I feel like the I want to do a podcast has been like such a like popular thing. But people really don't realize that, like, if you don't have good chemistry and there's like nothing to talk about, your podcast is going to go straight down the toilet.
Even if
quickly.
You have good
like,
chemistry without good equipment, that's
yeah. And I'm like, you can't just start a podcast. Like, I remember like, there were so many people that were like reaching out to me when me and Sarah started it, and they were like, how did you do this? How this, how that? And I'm like, I don't really mean to be mean, but I'm like, one, doing a podcast by yourself is even harder. And
I've
I'm
done
like,
that.
I don't think that you realize like there has to be a lot there for you to be able to have like a successful podcast. It's not just like you coming in and hoping for the best. I mean, you could, but it's not like it's.
And it probably took us like 4 months to even like, I
get
didn't
our footing.
I didn't promote that we were doing it until like probably 6 months in.
Because I
and
feel
then,
like even now when we go back and listen to like episodes 1 through 10 even, I feel like they were like still like, we were still finding our
footing.
And
we're not awkward around each other at
no,
all.
No, not at
but
all.
But even on the podcast, it sounded awkward.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out like what we were wanting to do and how we were wanting to like steer the ship as far as like the podcast.
And
went.
I agree. Me and AP, our first six months, I went back and listened to it and I was like, this is fucking terrible.
I know. Anytime people ask me, they're like, what episode should I start on? I'm like, do not do 1 through 10. I said, anything like, newer, listen
I'm
to.
I'm like, go to like episode 50.
Yeah.
I remember like listening back. Even like in the very beginning, I'd listen back to him and I knew that it's not like I was like unaware and I was like, that was good.
We just didn't know where we wanted the podcast to go until
like,
we
like I would
like
listen
really
to them and I'm like, something's not right. Because I know her and I's chemistry and I know like how good we are at talking back and forth and the things that we would talk about alone. I'm like, that's not what we're doing on there. That
yeah,
sounds weird.
Yeah, yeah. And
whatever
and
you're doing is great, by the way, because I don't listen.
We figured it out.
I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts. I'm just being honest, because by the time I produce all the ones I do and then all the ones I do, like it has to be something that's not cliche. And then YouTube being YouTube, I was like, oh wow, this is kind of fun.
Yeah,
because I think like, it's different to a lot of people.
Well, it scared me because I like Sarah and we have a good relationship. I was like, I listened to it over the week and I was like, I wanted to like it, because that's what sucks is when you know what it's like. Like, let's say someone that like it's like seeing a comedian you've always wanted to see, and they're like, oh shit.
Oh yeah.
And so no,
or they try and do something else. You see them in a movie, and you're like, oh god, they should have done that.
It loses its wow factor a little bit. Yeah.
Because I always think that like it's so saturated with men doing podcasts the way they do in comedy. It's like when you see females doing it, it's like a huge. Like that's why I'm a huge supporter of it because of my wife. It's like, you know, I don't think we support.
It is crazy that podcasting is such a boys game.
It is.
And most of them are terrible.
And but we looked it,
oh,
up our...
awful. I was about to lead into that. Go ahead.
Because here's my issue is with it, right? So, I had two female guests on right now, right? And then I see a message or whatever. But, like, that's where it dies. Or what I still see a lot of times is, and maybe because I'm older, just because I don't give a fuck, but they're always like, is like, well, how did it go? Like, oh, they were great. Like, what they look like, and you're just like, what?
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
Tell them we have a face for radio.
That's
we got the face for radio.
And tell them to fuck off.
But that's where the guy culture still is, even to this day, because you'll still see, like, when you see female comics come to open mics or female guests on or whatever. I remember we had a she's married to AJ Moye, who played IU. Cynthia Schmidt, she played for Lingerie Football League or whatever.
Yeah.
She was just absolutely gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
And we had her on the show like early on, and her story was great about being in the military, served in the military, and did all these cool things. But all the message we got was just like, hey, does she have any nude? And I'm like,
the fuck?
Yeah, like that's like you totally missed the whole point.
And I just think I got so burnt on that because when I see an attractive person, my first thought is, nah, I like to fuck them. I don't know, but I have friends still this day, that's the first thought that they go to, and I'm just like, that's lazy.
So it's
that's
actually,
lazy.
It's really lazy.
So we were going to like lead into that. We got our like what
analytics.
Our podcast, and Sarah was looking through it. Our podcast subscribers are 100% men. 100% men.
Which
when
is
I
tell so
you,
interesting because I feel like one, we like, I think we're funny, but like, I do think that we talk about like some like girly topics.
We do. And I think that we also like, I feel like there are a lot of women that I've had that have like reached out to me and they've been like, that's so cool you do this, yada, yada, whatever. And then like seeing that, I'm like, those are numbers. Like those are like, you know.
And that's the weird part about it is because I always felt like when my wife started her shop or my wife was doing whatever, like the female support was awesome, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like anytime a man does something, no men very rarely support any other men in any venture because they're always they're jealous.
Yeah.
Because they're late. Like I said, they're lazy and they're like, well,
could do that.
But it's like, and that's what the problem is with it. So, but no, you guys' show is very interesting because like guys still can't figure out women because I'm an anomaly, same woman since I was 18 years old, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't even imagine dating. That just would freak me the fuck out. Like I see what my friends go through and I've heard some other stories and it's just like Morgan talk about her Tinder stories and I'm just like, what is going on out there?
It's chaos.
It's chaos. It really is.
Everything's on fire.
And like, you know, like you said, like us, like me and Sarah, like I do think that like we're normal, but I'm just like, I'm so used to like our personality and like who we are that like, yeah, probably we aren't like most girls, quote unquote. But like, I feel like even on Halloween, like we went out and like, it's just like, we're not like searching for like a male validation. And for whatever reason, I think that's almost what like pulls it in a little bit.
We actually had a podcast episode with a guy that like, he's kind of thirsty, I'll say it.
Yeah.
And like, we were talking, I was like, yeah, but like when her and I go out or we do anything, we're never seeking male validation.
Yeah, like we're never like seeking to like go like find a man to talk to. Like we're like there to literally be like assholes with each other. Like we are not there to like be girly and get a couple drinks and like hope that men come up and flirt with us. If it happens, like we're actually not even nice half the time.
Yeah.
Like, I can literally count every instance that it's ever happened and we've been straight assholes.
That whole
and
time
still
in Nashville.
Stay there.
We
went on a Nashville trip with just her and
coming
I.
Up to us and I was like,
yeah, like we were being such bitches and they were still hanging around. Like,
that's one thing about men though is they are relentless about it. And then from my perspective is like, I spent years trying to book guests and then shows and not be creepy. Like to me, that's the hardest part.
I think it's weird though, because I'm like, I don't understand where that comes from. I feel like so many men say that.
Men worry about being creepy. Because
why? Like why so badly?
Yeah, I talked about it with her.
I just did BT's podcast and the first question, I'm not kidding, intro music still playing. He goes, do you think I'm creepy? I'm like, why is that like such a fear
it
for you guys?
Is.
What are
I
you
don't
doing?
Get it.
Well, with me, it's because A, my real job, right?
Yeah.
That comes from also my real job. And then the second thing is running podcasts for 7 years and then now starting to put on shows now where I'm like having to message people like, hey, do you want to come do the show? And I've seen how certain people were creepy and no matter what it was, work, just no matter what the spectrum was
mm-hmm.
and just seeing how fast that spread.
I don't think guys realize how easy we are able to read when you're being genuine and you're being creepy.
Yeah,
like,
I think
it's
that's
so
where the
easy.
I think that's where the disconnect is.
Like we know, like we're very aware when someone's just actually asking us or like even Heidi, like doing hair, like it's noticeable within the first like 5 minutes if that guy's there because he genuinely thinks you're a really good hairstylist or if he came there because he like
didn't get hit, one of his DMs answered, so he booked an appointment with you.
They make it it's way easier to tell than you think.
Yeah.
All right, good, because like that's one of my ultimate goals is like.
And I also think if you're overthinking it, that almost makes you seem creepy.
Well, it's just because you're absolutely correct on that. It's just because sometimes you're guilty by association.
That's fair.
Because I've had, and that's the other thing is, A, I don't care what people think of me, but I care about my reputation when it comes to some of the business aspects.
Well, you have to. Yeah. Like, I mean, when it's like business related, absolutely.
I don't have that kind of energy you guys have at that age. I'm 40. I'm happy. She's doing Christmas lights. I'm going to make some steak.
Christmas lights.
Y'all are comfortable. Like, you guys got it figured out. A routine. Like, it's not chaos.
Yeah. Our marriage is different compared to most, right? Like, I went, the show in Bloomington I was at. Like, she texts me like 8:30, like, hey, where are you at? I was like, oh, forgot to tell you I'm with Nate and Bloomington. She's like, all right, be careful, have a good night. That's what we have built up. And then I've been with other people like, well, how long are you going to be down there? How long is this going
to
take?
I think that's like, kind of the dating scene now. Like, that's the chaos we're talking about. Yeah. It's just like very hard to find people that are not like so over the top or so like overly insecure that it's just like, damn, like maybe being single is the easiest route.
You guys got together so young that like you didn't have that like trust break.
We did. We separated for
Drama.
Trauma.
Here's the tea.
I separated for a year and I did date during that time.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, in this, it was like, we got married in 2001. First kid was in 2003. Second was 2005, separation around 2007 to 2008. Like, where I had my own apartment, she still had the house, but it was like we were cool.
Can I ask where the separation happened?
Why?
Like, was it like more just like family stress and like job stress that like happened that you guys like were just like not on the same page?
Yeah. So basically at 40, so I'm 43. So I was raised in a culture of like wife, kids, dog, cat, white picket fence, two car garage. We had
like
a
traditional family.
We got
family,
all that. Like, and I was just like, but then I kept trying to chase a career, and then she stepped back, and we moved to Indianapolis because of her in 02. So she was, you know, we had her second child, and then she stayed home more, didn't care. But then I started getting phone calls like, hey, I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're at the zoo. Hey, we're taking a trip here. And I'm just like, I'm sick of work. And so I felt like, why am I, we switched places to me to take a higher salary, more stressful job, but I'm not even seeing my kids, and I've always wanted to be a father. And then it was just like, she had someone in her ear, one of her friends, and I had one of my friends, male friend in my ear. Then you're still younger. I mean, it's 27 years old.
Yeah.
So at the time, we thought we were old, 27, and that's what happened. But then, you know, started dating or whatever. Not dating, but like talking to girls, and I was like, you guys are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then had they, yeah, w- no, they
girls
weren't.
Are
crazy.
Guys they are.
Weren't. They weren't, and then guys were crazy, because I'd be on a date, we'd be talking, and they'd be talking about the last guy that she dated, and I'm like, and they'd be like, hey, where you at? I'm at work. What time you get off this time? And they're like, why are you working so late? And I was just like, hang on. Like, we're dating.
Yeah, like where's the disconnect? Yeah.
Like, why are you, like, so I'm at work paying my bills, and you're mad because I'm working.
Yeah, and that's probably from, like, a past trauma relation. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you, like, I have said this, like, I think the people that have it figured out the best is the people that get married like super young. They just like, I mean, I'm not saying you're going to have the most like exciting, crazy stories to tell in your life, but I think if I would have just married my high school sweetheart, my life would have been way easier.
Oh, and like same, like that was like one thing like me and Sarah have always said is like our lives have just like been like a parallel. And I went through the same thing. So like when I went to cosmetology school, I was with someone for 5 years. And like that was my plan going into cosmetology school, is like I was going to school so I could like make money and like have a career. And then when I was done, get married. We already had a house bought at that point, and then like start a life. And like, I mean, that going to school flipped it on its head completely. But I would say like dating now, like coming out of that, I'm like, it's been so iffy on so many levels that I've had the same thing. Just like people are just like insecure, or like they just like question anything and everything you're doing. And then it makes you be like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, literally, if you're just at work working, you're like, what do you mean? Like,
but that comes from like one person making them insecure, and then they don't work through that.
But in turn, though, that's just another thing where like people our age just like are not willing to like sort through their trauma or sort through why they are the way they are to not do that anymore in relationships.
Yeah.
And you got to surround. And the problem is a lot of people don't surround themselves with the right people. Right. I only surround myself with people, like I said, is that are heading in a certain direction.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like people even look at it that way. Like, I think people are very much like immediate, like gratification. Like if their friends are like making them happy, or they're like doing this, that and the other, like in the moment, they're like, oh, these are great friends. But it's like, sometimes I feel like people don't see that they aren't good friends until they're like way out of it. You know what I mean? In most cases.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I think when I hit 30, I was like, all right, hang on. Like, who am I surrounding myself with? Well, I was just with him last night. We took a bunch of opioids and we drank a bunch. We were at a strip club. And I can't find my ATM card.
Yeah.
And I was like,
me all through my 20s.
Yeah. Like, we got to make some different decisions, right?
Right.
And then now it's like, it's, I don't know. Like, I guess I had trauma when my pops passed, right? Like,
yeah.
That was the worst thing that's ever happened to me to this point. And then I was like, yeah, none of this stuff matters.
Yeah.
But that also made me detach to people. Like, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while, BJ. And I was like, oh, just been busy. And I was like, I don't fucking care. That's the worst part.
Just detachment instead of like working through things. You're just...
I keep it to 10 people that I care about. But like I told you, Sarah, like you're like, hey, if you ever need something, let me know. And that's so cliche to say, but I actually mean it. But a lot of people throw that out there now, right? Like, hey, if you need something, let me know. But other than that...
Yeah.
Oh, we should hang out sometime.
I won't ever say that, but I mean,
there's always like these people
it's normalized,
that like.
For
I feel
sure.
like mine was like 30, and I like was like, I don't want to go out on the weekends anymore. I don't want to like. I was like party girl, where I was like out every weekend. Every bar on Meridian Street, I knew every single person. But then I was like, I don't want to go out anymore. I want to like, and it was like a lot to do with like Heidi, like her and I hanging out. Like she's very like. No, let's go home. Like, let's
go
home.
Yeah, like, I'm grounded in that sense.
She's like,
sure.
We can have, like, a couple drinks, but then we can go home. And I'm like, we can? We can just, like, go home at 10 p.m.? Okay.
And that's my favorite thing to do. I'm like, let's get drunk at, like, 7, 8 p.m., be home by 11. That's perfect. And, like, Sarah was like, we have to close the bar down. I'm like,
yeah,
we
have
don't.
To go to an after. I think
no, we don't.
The very first time that you came to Indy to hang out with me, I brought you to some warehouse party at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you were
and
just
had,
sitting
like,
there
this
like
whole, like trauma. No, like all of my childhood trauma came back that night. Like that was like a whole journey.
I drug her into a mental breakdown, honestly.
But I needed it. Like I think the past like couple years I've had with you have been like the most constructive of my entire life. Like things I really needed to do before 30.
I think we like pulled each other in like the complete direction both of us needed to go. Like I like kind of pushed you into a bad place for a second, but then you pulled me out of it. But like you kind of needed to go there for a second. And then like all the people that I was hanging out with back then, I'm like, none of them reach out.
And also all of them are still doing the exact same thing that they were doing when you were doing that. And there's no signs.
I have like four people that reach out to me, and all those people that I like, even to this day, if I like go out, they're like, oh my God, seen you forever. How are you? We need to hang out. Blah blah blah. I'm like, no, we don't. No,
so
we don't.
Sounds like you found your AP, which he saved my life in a good way. Like, because I was just in a dark place, didn't fucking care, and then he was so positive and upbeat, and I was like, oh man, we need this. And he's like, all right. So like, he built a podcast table, and he did all this other stuff, and then next thing you know, I'm doing stand up because of him, and then we're doing videos, and like, and then. My kids call him Uncle AP. Like he's
aww.
And like he goes Friday night dads. Like he'd go to Collins football games, and he was like there with me. Now my other best friend I was close to, Cav, kind of got away from me. Went to rehab, got his life together, and I like it was during that 30s where I was like, oh fuck, like we were going through I don't know 12 Vicodin 10s a day and two monsters, and like we were just living the life. And, like I ended up.
I didn't know this about you, BJ. I didn't know you were a Vicodin monster man.
Well, the doctor gave them to me, and he didn't tell me, hey, this could happen to you.
Yeah. I just got prescribed it.
That's what I heard.
Wait, I told you heard that on the podcast. Yeah, like prescribed me opioids for a minor tear in my leg, and I'm like, first off, I have addiction running heavy in my family.
Mm-hmm. Did they
like,
even ask you that either?
Nothing. No, he didn't even ask me what kind of pain I was in. I was like, you can't just prescribe these to anybody. Like,
and then they won't do, most doctors won't, like my doc, because I've had a bunch of surgeries, but I went through withdrawal in a hotel in Cleveland and like ran out, and then like,
why did you go through the withdrawal there? You ran out of pills?
Oh yeah,
and, like,
I had one left in the bottle just shaking it, and they were prescribed to me. And then so I took it, and then I tried to make it. It was on my 33rd birthday.
Why were you out of them?
Because
you...
I was abusing them.
Okay.
Abusing them really bad. Like, I was only supposed to take 4 a day, and I was taking 12.
4 a day seems like a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say 4 a day sounds like
a lot.
But
these were 10 milligrams, one of the highest doses you get before you get into oxy and other stuff. But like, we were working 16, 17 hour days, so that was our way of getting through it. But anyways,
doesn't it make you tired though?
No, it gave me euphoria.
Okay.
So it was like me taking, like, drinking three espressos. And it just made, right? And he ended up going to rehab. And then he got married again, found God. He's a very religious person. And then got divorced.
I always find that to be interesting as well.
He was homeschooled. He's the smartest guy I've ever met. Like, hands down, smartest guy I've ever met besides one other person. Could have been a doctor, whatever he wanted. But, and then we reconnected. Then we kind of got away from each other. Started working at Amazon second shift, but he wasn't a good influence.
Yeah.
And so he called me one night, and I was sitting outside, and I said, what's up? Because in my phone, it saved as Ghost Calf, because he would just disappear. Same way I will. He was overdosing on fentanyl. Well, he called me. And I was like, hey, what'd you take? He's like, I've been putting cocaine in my Twisted Tea, drinking it. He's like, I don't think it was coke. He's like, and I couldn't understand him. And I was like, all right, don't go inside. Don't go inside. Stay outside. Where you at? So me and Steph rushed over there. This is like 2 days before I start my new job. And not about me, but I was like, I was freaking out.
Yeah.
We drove over there. We find him in between. There's a car. Him and then the curb. He's just turning blue. He's just overdosing. And there's this couple outside that called the ambulance. So Steph and I get there. We put him up on the ground. And then she's CPR certified because I'm overweight. She kind of has to be a little bit. And so she's just pumping on his chest and just screaming at him because she's upset. And he comes to. He had fentanyl. And we went to the hospital with him. Like, he was Uncle Joe. He grew up with my kids from like 09 or 06. Yeah, 09 to like 16. He lived with me, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And then he overdosed. And then.
Did he overdose and pass away? Or
no.
Okay.
That's not the part why I don't talk to him. He, our other mutual friend that I know was able to get him the cocaine. And so I was like, hey, don't get him any more drugs. And he did.
Yeah.
But come to find out was after he overdosed, and then we had our talk, and I went to the casino with him, and just we went and ate dinner, and I was like, you know, I can't have you calling me dying on the phone.
Right.
I mean, that's like traumatic. Like, that's traumatic for anyone. I feel like when even like they don't realize it, it's like they're calling you because like they need your help. Like, I don't think that when they're in that state, they realize how traumatic it is for you guys.
But,
you know what I mean?
But here's the thing that he said to like our group of friends, me, Moy, and AP and Cav. He goes, the reason he texts me and I said, hey, I love you. He said, this is the reason I called you, is because I, no matter what, I know you'll always be there.
Like, yeah. He knew you were going to answer in that moment, and he needed someone to answer.
But that's the problem. And then so...
Because, like, in a way, it's enabling them.
Well,
yeah.
I found out he did try to buy some more coke, and I haven't talked to him since.
Yeah. Like, I think just, you can't enable people. I tell my mom that all the time. I'm like, I love you, and I think that, like, you're very supportive to a lot of people, but I also think you enable a lot of people. And when you're enabling somebody and, like, just giving them, like... a home to live in and like
emotional support and
emotional
support,
or even like fucking like giving them money and stuff. I'm like, if you're giving them money, you're not giving them money for the right reason. She's like, oh, they need help getting back on their feet. I'm like,
that's not what they're doing with
that's
it,
not what they're doing with the money. And like, I love you, but that's not helping anybody. But like, that's why like you've had like three people overdose around you. Like,
give people money who you never want to talk to again.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and that's the other thing is like, I got a nice new job and I already made good money, but I made even better money. And then people text like, hey, can you help me out? And I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm like, sure.
And but then, I mean, I think giving people money is not a way to help them. Like, whenever, like, I had a friend, Ellie, and she would like always... she just got really into like drugs, and every time we'd go to hang out, she would ask me for money. And I'm like, that's not why I want to hang out with you. Like, you realize that, right? Like, and I think giving you money is not helping you in any way. Like,
well, yeah.
And my biggest, if we're going to talk about like what my therapist said, and I have no problem, and I've been in therapy, I have no problem, is you're willing to make everybody else around you happy to the point it makes you miserable.
Yeah.
And then you become a cunt. She didn't add that part. I added that
part.
No,
like you get like it's like martyr syndrome where
you saw it the night at the mic. I just was fed up. Like, I'm
like,
done.
I do all this for you. Why can't anyone do one thing for me? And like, as much as that, like, we get where anybody like that is coming from. Why are you doing everything then?
And that's why I clicked with Sarah, is because she don't want nothing from me and I don't want nothing from her. We're just...
a mutual respect for one another. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
People always like, hey, can we come on the podcast, BJ? Like, hey, can I get... I have someone text me like, hey, you have the mic tonight. Can you write me down at number 3? And I'm like, I never hear from you any other time. But now...
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and some of it I allow it and some of it, but yeah, it, I just get fed up. And then that's why I always look like I'm angry. It's like, I'm like, who's going to come at the other part is people that want to do music at an open mic and Nate allows it and they're fucking terrible. And they're like, hey,
I have been to some of those.
And then I'm not a DJ, Sarah. I've never been a DJ.
You do play good music though, BJ.
But I,
you do play good music.
Thank you. But what happened was when we went the first open mic, Nate, like I saw Nate struggling in my natural mother instincts, like, hey, I'm gonna help you.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of the hardest things to unlearn too. Like, just like you, like I'm in therapy as well. And I think some of the things that I always thought were like really strong qualities I had that were like positive, my therapist is like, no, babe, like you need to unlearn those because it's not. I'm like,
yeah, you think you're helping people, but
yeah,
you're not.
Yeah. Or like you in turn are like kind of gaslighting yourself or like manipulating yourself into thinking you're doing the right thing, but you're really not.
Well, I like to have power, which I know. I like the power. And I
mean, most people do. Most people do like to be the one that's in control, whether they like think so or not. Like you always want to be in control of like your mental, your emotional,
your
physical sanity.
But if you're taking care of everybody, then you have the power.
Because I'll walk in a situation and be like, like I would walk in, like if I was on your podcast, I would look for things that I could help fix, not because of control, just be like, hey, if you guys do this, this will help you.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, they want me a guest on your show, and I could just be like, oh, this is great. I can't. That's what I have to work. Even at 43, I struggle with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is it because you would want power over us?
No, I
see you as that type of person.
Not power, but like
control.
My job's always been to manage things, and
yeah,
I've been trained to like if you see something, fix something.
Yeah.
Or like if like this today, the trash needed taken out, stop what I'm doing, took it out, threw it away.
Yeah.
Like, just stop and you know, if I see some, like I was at Kroger and I saw someone dropped like their receipt, I picked it up, threw it in the trash.
So that's why it bothers you when other people just don't think like that. You're like, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you just unclog the toilet if it's clogged?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But that's me. And that's why I ended up spending most of my time isolated. I was like, all right, I'm just going to go sit on that couch outside like a hillbilly because I grew up in a trailer, right? So having a couch outside, even if I had a trailer, that'd been the greatest.
I love a trailer park couch.
But we always had like those broken wooden metal swings.
Yes.
Yes, I was about to say, shut up. So we grew up in a double wide modular and we had this back deck and we had this broken down wooden swing and I would sit on that thing every chance
she
I
had
got.
A double wide.
Oh, yeah.
She's fancy.
We had the double wide modular. Yeah, yeah. And like my mom and dad still live in that thing. And
we
I'm
have
like
the,
traumatized by it.
We once moved three trailers down in the trailer park and it was by far like one of the lowest moments of my life until my mom's like, hey, they have a garden tub in this one. Like, I don't know what a garden tub
What's
is.
A garden tub?
I didn't know either. It's like
one of those tubs you step in.
Yeah, you step in.
Ones.
So, yeah.
My mom and dad had one.
And my mom was trying to make us feel better about having to walk all of our shit down. Like me and my brother carrying the couch and carrying the beds, two trailers down. And I remember, and she's like, oh, we got a garden tub. And I was just like, okay. And then she's like, no,
I'll show you a picture.
She's
later.
Like, you'll like it. And, you know, you can come in here and soak. And I was just like, I'm like,
it's
10.
Like it's a pretty big tub for a trailer or a modular, truthfully. Yeah.
And then there's like, you can see out the front windows, but the tub didn't work. So,
oh, shut up. You got all the way down there. And then, like, what? It didn't fill up or?
No, they didn't run the water to it.
Yeah. I always told my mom, like, my mom and dad moved us from. I grew up in Terre Haute and my mom and dad moved us from, it was like downtown Terre Haute, but downtown Terre Haute's like middle school, which is where my older brother was getting ready to go. He was having all kinds of like behavioral problems because he had like ADHD. He wouldn't take his medication, like a problem child. And my mom's like, I'm not going to let him go to, it was called Sarah Scott. And it was like considered like the ghetto school. My mom's like, he already has issues. Like, I'm not going to let him go to this school. The house we were in was like a nice house, arguably. Like, it was a nice house. And my mom and dad thought it would be better to move our entire family to the nicest part of Terre Haute in the furthest south to the nicest school. But in turn, we had to live in the shittiest house.
Because
in
we couldn't afford.
Yeah, because we couldn't afford the houses that were in there. So, like, literally, we were probably, like, I mean, there were people that were, like, probably worse off than we were. But, like, we lived in, like, the shittiest house out of all of our friends. Like, none of us ever wanted our friends over.
They're like, do you know how to make, you want to help them in school?
Like,
let's take them to like the nicest school and put them in the
like,
shittiest
area. I get where
area.
My mom was coming from. Like, my mom was like, you know, like, I want you guys to go to the best school. Like, I want you to this, I want you to that. And I'm like, babe, like, we look like Goodwill children compared to these people. Like, I swear to you, middle school was like the worst like 3 years of my life. But like, I'm living in a double wide modular, and I have friends that are living in like multi-million dollar mansions. Like, I'm not even exaggerating that. Like, there were some houses that I'd walk into and I'm like, I can't let you fucking go to my house. Are you kidding me? You're gonna think I live in a basement.
I don't know though, because I remember like, we grew up in like, it was like a three bedroom.
Oh, I was well, so you, embarrassed.
You've been to my
so
childhood home. We've done a lot of work to it, but it's like, it wasn't a bad home, but I would always love going to my friend Jade's house, and she lived in the trailer park. And like, I didn't even, as a middle schooler, didn't even realize that I was like going to the trailer park. My mom would just drop me off there and she's like, have fun. And in my mind as a middle schooler, like, this is coming from like the opposite side, I didn't notice that I was like hanging out in a trailer park. I was just like, Jade's house is so fun. Her mom like passes out at like 9 p.m. We get to do whatever
we want.
That's
where like all my deepest inner demons like lay. It's like, I, in from 6th to 8th grade, like, when I tell you that was like the worst like development as far as like what I thought of myself went, was the lowest it had ever been, because none of my friends lived in the same conditions I
but
did.
I think
like, every
everybody
single one of my
is
friends
like
had like good
insecure in their own way, but like, in my mind, I didn't look. I remember going to her house and like, that's where I saw my first penis, that's where I drank my first what were those,
wine cooler,
Mike's Hard Lemonade. Like, I thought her house was so cool, and like, we got to like, you know, she had so many neighbors. I lived way out in the country. Like, I had no neighbors for like 3 miles.
Yeah.
But like, she lived in the trailer park, so there were always kids around. We always got to, and I mean, I'm sure they were other like low income kids, but like, I was like, this is so cool. There's other people we get to go hang out with.
Like, yeah, like in my head, I'm like, these people think I'm like trailer park trash. Like, that was the only thought that ever went through my mind.
I'm telling you, like, coming from the other side of that, I was like, Jade's house is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's right though, because like, I remember, I still took friends with her this day. I remember I was not dating. I liked this girl, right? Named Andy. And I remember going to her house, and I was just like, we lived in a two bedroom apartment, and then me and my brother shared a room. Yay. And then my mom and whatever. And I remember going to her house. She's like, hey, we're going to the Tyler's Lake House. I was like, lake house?
Yeah.
It's a lake house.
I went to the lake house, and it was like bigger than like the whole four apartments
combined.
Oh,
yeah. All my friends lived on a golf course. So
yeah, this was their second house.
Yeah.
And then this was their smaller home.
And then like, I saw her mom bringing like, and my fucking kid bringing $1,000 worth of groceries. And then he's out there driving the boat. And then, you know, we're wakeboarding. And I'm just like, what world is this?
Yeah.
Not a care. And they had a housekeeper. And I was
but
just,
also like, was that like, so like, I feel like that like altered my brain chemistry. Like,
I didn't touch anything,
seeing stuff
in anybody's
like
house.
That like, no, but like, seeing like the way that like some of my friends lived, like, so carefree and like so taken care of and so just like over the top almost from like whatever I experienced, that was like one of those like, it like altered my brain chemistry. Like, I literally remember like going to these houses for the first time, and I'm like, why the fuck am I living like this? And like, some of my best friends are like living the way that they are. And I used to be so jealous of that feeling. Like, I would just like be like, I don't even want to go back to my house, because I know like what I'm going back to is nothing compared to what you guys have.
I really do think they would enjoy it though. Cause like, so I'm like right in the middle. Like, my family was like exactly middle class. And like, when I would hang out with lower middle class people, I really liked it. But then I remember the first guy I dated that had like money. And we like went to their house, and like, his dad like put his plate down, and I'm like already eating my food, you know, like, cause I'm like, I don't know. Like, my family, we sat around the couch and watched Wheel of Fortune and ate our foods like around our four cats. Like, I'm like, that's,
or like ate your food in your room. Like, that was like normal.
We had
the
TV trays for the living
room.
Oh,
yeah. And like, you just sit those down and we watch TV and like fucking like, you know. And then I went to this boy's house that I was dating, and they were like pretty upper class. And I'm like eating my food, and he was like, hey, we don't eat until my dad sits down. And I was like, oh, okay. And his mom had made, I had salmon and roasted vegetables for the first time in my life. I was like, this is so interesting. But
it's funny now, like, me hearing that like as an adult, I'm like, ew, fuck that dad. Like,
but
I don't know
I'm
why
saying,
the first thing
I'm
he comes
saying,
to mind.
Like, I looked up to that family so much. He loved hanging out at my house. Like, he was always like, I want to go to your house. You're like, your parents let us drink and let us like hang out in the basement. And
see,
you
but
know,
that's
like,
the thing too, like in Terre Haute, like, we were hanging out at those houses, like those really nice houses, but it's like, those are the places where I had those memories at.
Oh,
it wasn't
really?
At my house. Like, those houses were like, their parents were also so fucked up that they were like, ah, you guys can do whatever you want. And like, that was like kind of like where it was, you know what I mean? It wasn't in my house. It was like at their houses that we would do that.
I remember, I think I was a sophomore. She was a freshman, just got my license or vice versa, whatever. And I had coached their son with my pops during the summertime with baseball. And so I started dating her. Greenman was her last name. Greenman Real Estate. They own a huge real estate company in Southern Indiana. And her dad was a huge Cuban man. And I remember going over there. She was sick, so I brought her Taco Bell. I guess, I don't know why. But anyways, why she would
have, now why I'm did like, you why, bring why, someone memory that's sick for you. Taco Bell?
That's what she wanted. She might have just been hungover. Anyways. And I remember going over there. And then the next week I went back over there. And she's like, hey, do you want to go swimming? And I was just like, so when I was at my rich friends never made me feel this way. I just, my mind was like, if I break something, I can't afford to pay for anything.
Yeah.
So I would just sit. I never used their bathroom. Like nothing. I was weird. And then I remember.
What would you do to go to the bathroom?
I would go outside somewhere.
Oh my God.
I would shit outside.
Yeah.
No.
Wiping with leaves.
I wouldn't do that, but.
They have a marble crusted bathroom.
They did have a full working London telephone in their basement. Like the whole big booth, Doctor Who.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That it worked?
Oh yeah. So you would walk in there and you could just talk to upstairs in the house, or you could call out. And then I remember going swimming and their mom, and first of all, their pool house is bigger than our whole apartment. Like, it actually was bigger than most houses I had lived in, but we were swimming, and this is why I knew rich people were a little different. And she was like, hey, do you want a beer? And I was like, oh, this is a test. I was like, no, I don't drink. Thank you. She's like, no, it's fine. It's Saturday. You'll be here for a while. And I was like, no, I'm fine. She went and poured it in a glass and gave it to me in the pool. And she was just like, hey, we're going to have some steaks later. If you want some more beer, it's over there. And I'm just dog paddling. Like, this is what rich people do.
Yeah.
And I was fucking, and they were just like, they didn't care what you did.
Nope.
No, they didn't care anything about what we did or whatever. And then that was the weirdest part. And now that I'm older and it's just like, oh my God, like all the kids would always come over here after football because we're the same way. Like, just, you know, just, yeah. I'd rather be here than anywhere else.
But yeah.
The boys don't drink as much as I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like a generational thing. I think younger generation, they're definitely more like weed smokers than new generation.
If I wash one more fucking vape, though, I'm going
to. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Wash it.
Well, because they leave it in their clothes.
Like in their pockets and stuff.
Yeah. And then, like, I'll drive my car and I'm just like, whose vape is this?
Who the fucks is this?
Like, who has fucking blueberry?
Sarah got a strawberry banana before we got here.
That's fine. I was talking about, I still want to raise men.
Sarah did.
Yeah, I'm allowed to do it because I'm a girl.
I'm allowed to. I love the strawberry banana blitz.
My oldest son, Lucci, he actually has a safe in his room where he locks his stuff up because they have friends that come back from Michigan. I smoked weed for the longest time. I don't anymore, but he has his weed locked up or stuff like that, like in a little hotel safe.
My nephew started selling weed at like 16 and he would keep it locked in a safe, just like trash weed too.
Like mid as fuck.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, like I do come from like a family of entrepreneurs. So I'm like, fuck it, dude. I mean, like if you want to sell weed, like... be good at it, you know.
Start
working hard at it. Start tracking your
Start working hard.
What are your margins on this? How much are you selling it for? How much is the bag that you put it in? Like, if you're gonna sell weed, you're gonna do it right.
So I think he, because he works at Chick-fil-A as a trainer, and
what the fuck? He's making capital. Are you kidding me? That man is making money.
And then I think he's helping all the little Christian kids out. Like, hey, you know what I'm saying?
But Chick-fil-A, they pay an.
And Chick-fil-A workers could some of those Christian Mormon kids could use a little weed.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a girl whose mom was like pretty much like under the owner of the one in Terre Haute, and she's like one of the best strippers in Indy now.
I think Lucci makes $19 an hour at 20 years old.
Like, that's crazy. Like, that's actually crazy.
Yeah.
And there are people that are older than him that don't make that.
No, I know. He's still in bed right now because they're closed on Sundays. But now he's getting to the point. It's like, so he came home the other day, he stood in the living room, and he's like, hey, we need to talk. And I was like, what the fuck?
I'm listening.
I was like, first of all.
All right. First of all, no, but I'm listening.
First of all, I still pay for this place.
He's like, but ears wide open. Like,
I'll decide when we get to talk, but okay.
And he goes, you know, since I'm the one who works full time in the Otis, I think I should really get the park in front of the house. Because that's Colin's car. Me and my wife, I have two cars. My wife has one, and Lucci has one. Justice has one. They all have cars, which I'm blessed about. But me and my wife are the only one who gets parked in the driveway.
Yeah.
And then these, they have to park wherever, right? And so he's like, he went through 15-minute debate on why he gets to park in front of the house.
Did he win?
No. I was like, I don't give a fuck.
No, no, he didn't fucking win.
You're like, you could
win.
Literally tell me you lost your leg and you're still not parking in front of the house.
No. I was like, I paid for your car. So technically, I think I paid for all of them except for Justice, and then I paid for part of Collins or whatever. It's because I don't want to drive my car. Lucci hit the fucking hood latch instead of the gas latch, and it went down 65 with the fucking hood. Now there's dents on the top. He was like, my bad, bro.
Smart guy.
My bad, bro.
That's what they all say, so.
My bad, bro.
But
bad,
honestly, bro. The best thing about being, I like about being me, I love being a dad. That's the funnest shit to me. I don't, everything else is like, that's what makes me happy. Is now they're old enough, and I'm like, Lucci's 20, and being 43.
At least they're like at a fun age, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, I went into Colin and his girlfriend were sleeping or whatever, and they had their door open, so I took a picture and sent it to him when he woke up. And we have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Now Lucci and Justice are a little bit more like, Lucci's like a bit of rage like my brother.
Yeah.
He just like fucking wants to get angry. That's why there's holes on the doors. And I don't know.
Isn't that crazy though, how you can raise, like, even if you have like 4 or 5 kids, they'll all be so different. Like, it's like everyone's always like, oh, you didn't raise them right, or like,
it's all personality based.
There really is, like, you can have multiple kids and all of them have such different personalities.
It's very similar. Like, Colin's personality is very close to it's a mixture of me and my wife, because my wife's a sweet person. Then I'm a very emotional person too. Lucci's 0 to 100 like my brother and my real father, like, mm-hmm. just that fucking. And then Justice,
rage at a drop of a coin.
Yeah, Justice, you know, we took guardianship when he was 15, so he's been with us for about 4 years now. So he kind of got our personalities a little bit, but...
Wait, when you say custody, is he...
He's not ours now.
Is he like a friend of one of the other sons? Well, okay. So he's like,
we did the white
now,
thing. The white thing. We found a kid, brought him in.
No, that's the best thing you could do, honestly.
It's, well, I was raised by my stepdad. Yeah. So I knew what it's like to try to, he knew what it was like to try to raise a kid, kids that weren't his. It's the hardest thing to do.
To be honest, I kind of feel like once you like become a parent, you almost have to like set yourself up for that. Cause I knew so many, like, even I did it too. Like, I would stay at like my best friend's houses. Probably enough that my parents should have been paying them child support. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely had my fair share of that.
Yeah, and then, so he's been with us, and he's 20, and then I think 2 of the 3 have girlfriends, which I can tolerate. Lucci, not so much. I think he's running through Chick-fil-A right now, so...
Running through Chick-fil-A?
Because...
All them bitches.
Yep.
I didn't know Chick-fil-A. I thought they wore jean skirts. And
oh,
like,
baby. No. Those are the worst ones.
So,
did you not just hear my story?
Plus, it's a dual drive-through. He's what's called the runner trainer. He trains the people that are outside to run food, run the drink. So all the women's
he's
in
telling
the cars,
these bitches what to do.
And he gets to see the women. And he is like, AP took a picture of him for something. And I was like, man, that kid is like, he's a very attractive kid.
Yeah.
He just hates me because he's 5'8" and I'm 6'3". That's where our tension is. He brings it up once a month
that he's like not like the
yeah.
same like
yeah, because Colin's 6 foot, almost 6'1", like he's 6'3" with his curly hair, but Lucci is short, and he brings it up all the time.
Like, he just like wants to take you one time and win.
Well, he tried it. It didn't work real well.
I think that's so sad that like height is such like a big deal to men.
Yeah,
like,
it really is.
Well, six three
and above is 1%. There's only it's 1% top.
Like, my brother is like 5'6", and I am 100% sure that is where all his rage comes from. It's just like the fact that he's short. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, why do you act the way
but
you
I
do?
I also think that like women have like, there's just been this thing with women where it's like, if you're not 6 foot and above, like,
see,
you're
and
not,
I've like, I know most women are like that. I'm not like that. I've never like noticed a guy's height.
I am. Oh my God. If you come up to me and you're like standing eye to eye with me, I'm like, get the fuck out of
there
my
it
face.
Is. Yeah. That's
get
where it comes from.
Get the fuck out of my face. Like, I will bully you. Like, I'll daddy you. I hate men that are my size.
I don't know why. If they're my
height. Wait, I should rephrase that. I don't hate men that are my size. I hate men that are trying to pursue me that are my size.
I feel like as long as you're taller than me, and I'm only 5'3", so like, it's not like, if you're shorter than me, like, you're there, like, yeah, I mean, then I'm probably not gonna be like that interested.
Yeah, no, I'm the opposite. I want like,
but you have
very
to be
5'2",
which is very uncommon.
No, I need a very obvious height difference. Like, I'm 5'2", and I need you to be like 6'2".
I never noticed. I actually, like, I was just on a date with that guy that he's like 6'5", and he's like, yeah, like, I'm pretty tall. And I was like, I honestly wouldn't have noticed.
No, I'm the opposite. I'm like, I like pull out a tape measure. I'm like, how tall are we?
I was like, I can tell that you're like taller than me, but like, I don't recognize that you're like substantially taller than any other guy that I've talked to.
I don't notice that I'm taller than people until we take a photo. And then I get...
That's how I am.
And then I get enamored. Like, they just dedicated a baseball field to my pops. And then so we got our picture taken for the paper with the mayor or whatever. And I was just... And they posted it, and it was in the paper. And then I kept getting text messages like, dude, why do you look like Lurch? Because I'm standing next to my mom, who's
5'2". We can't even see the top of your head.
See, like, and then it's funny because I'm like, in my head, like... I don't think that I'm as short as I am. And then, like, people will be like, Heidi, like, you're, like, arguably a very small human. And I'm like, no, bitch, I'm, like, 6'2", 300 pounds. Fuck with me.
I don't notice until pictures either how short I am. And then, like, I think it was, like, maybe it was, like, you and Asia and, like, two other people were in the picture. Maybe it was, like, Nate or something. And then me.
Oh,
and,
the,
like,
Bloomington one. The Bloomington one, too.
Everyone's just, like, crowded over me. And I'm like, oh, I'm... So
yeah,
so
like,
little.
Arguably, I would say me and Sarah like pretty small humans, but like in my head, we're like average at least.
I would, and I get it all the time. Like, it's weird. Like when you start working with people around people, they always ask you, "How tall are you?" Like not me, but also like everybody's like, "Yeah, height is such a big deal."
It is. It's so weird that it is. I don't get it.
And then they always. My favorite game that they play with me at work is, because I don't wear a hat at work, they're like, how old are you? And I'm like, why do we have to play this game?
Why do we play this game? Yeah. What are you doing? I don't like this game.
And then I was like, well, tell me how old you think I am. And then that's the game, because my hair is basically went all silver. And then so I get like between 40 and 50.
Which is also so stupid. My high school boyfriend had fucking grays in his hair by the time we graduated.
Well, my best friend was bald in high school, and then he used to be able to go... Yeah, he was bald.
In high school?
Yeah, he was bald at like 17.
Oh, no!
But if you notice, the people that can grow real thick beards right away...
Alopecia?
Like my brother can grow real thick beard overnight. I can't. Mine takes time. Mm-hmm. And his hair is thin. My hair is not thin. So a lot of times it's just...
Lack of nutrients in the womb. I'm kidding.
Maybe. But he used to go... We used to take him to Crothersville in southern Indiana. He'd take his shirt off with his chest hair and he'd be bald. And then he'd be able to go buy alcohol at 17.
Oh, damn.
I miss those days.
Miss those days.
So, like, yeah, one thing goes wrong, but a few things go right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to wrap this up. You guys have been amazing as always. We actually did over an hour. That was pretty quick.
Damn. That went fast. Yeah, that went really
fast. I appreciate you guys coming down.
Thanks for having us. This is fun.
You guys are always welcome to come down.
Perfect. Absolutely.
And then I enjoy some company. Because it's weird is because I got to the point in podcasting. I was like, I'm just going to have my people over that I know. And it clicks. Because we used to have guests on that you don't know how it's going to go. And you're like, you're sitting there going...
Yeah, all right,
cool. Yeah, like you're almost dragging over. The conversation. Yeah,
yeah. The rules of the podcast is if you go to someone's house, don't get drunk and be mouthy. You won't be invited back on.
Fair.
I've had it happen numerous times.
Fair.
A lot of them is because of Dyke's fault.
Wait, like mouthy, like isn't like they just like start spitting stuff they shouldn't be saying?
Yeah, like
do know that this is like released into the, like the world.
I will not take down any episode. I barely edit any episode.
Yeah.
Like, if you say shit...
That's my thing. Like, I do want to, like, eventually be, like, a decently, like, well-known stand-up comedian. I know people are going to go back on my stuff.
Yeah, they always do.
I have a video on YouTube from 2011 that I'm still trying to work on getting taken down. So, I learned my lesson there.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, so, yeah, we've had a couple of people. They used to go over to Harder Brunch, and then they would do, like... Kyle Buck used to record a show here on Sundays, and then someone else did, right? So they go there and get drunk. You've been Harder Brunch, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to get drunk, you can, and then they would come over here, and then they would be like, duh, 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 duh.
Yeah.
And I wasn't on that show. All I did was do this. I played this and pulled up stuff, and we had a couple people, one guy just kept trying to come at me. So your name is BJ, right? And I was just like,
ew, yeah, like you're like turning this into something that doesn't need to be.
You're like, I ain't even here, man. You're
I was like after 40 some years, I never heard that one. Good. That's creative. That is creative comedy right there. But anyways, but plug this time to plug all your stuff and everything like that.
Beauty and the Breakdown podcast available anywhere that you can find a podcast, and also YouTube. And then I post a lot of clips on both of our social media pages. So at Sarah Pop Tarts on Instagram,
at H for Heidi
on Instagram, and yeah, you can check us out.
It is a fun podcast. It goes by pretty fast. It's interesting, and it's not a bunch of dudes talking about their dick. Thank God.
Thank God.
It's just two girls talking about
their
our dicks.
Our dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like I said, just make sure you just check this out. Every new episodes come out every Tuesday, whether it be Fresh and Clean or whether it be the Flyover Special like this is. Ladies, thanks for coming. And
thank you for having us.
Always. I'm going to go hang Christmas lights, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Awesome. Thank you.